Good morning. God bless you. I had to start with a different opening this morning because my opening for the last 15, going on 16 now, years officially, starting today, is Turn in Your Bibles. And we're going to be looking at a lot of verses today that have to do with our subject. But instead of saying stand for the reading of the Word, I'm just going to say listen up. We'll call today's message the prayer card. The prayer card. You'll see why as we go through this. But maybe you've noticed it when you've read the Bible. Maybe you've seen this when you hear these Praying Hyde or George Muller or these wonderful prayer warriors as they're called, and they have these incredible prayer lives and these incredible things happen. Maybe you read it in the Bible. You know, where Moses or Joshua or others pray and amazing things happen. And it seems like the most faithful Christians are the most prayerful Christians. Can I get an amen to that? It seems really like the most fruitful Christians are also the most prayerful Christians. We all know we need to have a rich prayer life, but I think and I dare say that if most of us would not want our prayer lives scrutinized to any real extent. I mean, we pray all day and that sort of thing, but if we really got right down to it, everybody in here, I believe, and everybody that hears my voice through this sermon, through sermon audio, whatever it may be, has this feeling that their prayer life isn't what it could be or should be sometimes. So that was to be an oh me in Baptist nomenclature. Amen or oh me. And here's the thing, you look at these amazing things that happen. You read about them, you hear about them, somebody preaches them, and you think, this is incredible. And it's very encouraging, inspiring. And, you know, we've got to be people that pray. There's power in prayer, et cetera, et cetera. But then something happens. And you hear about how these prayer warriors and such prayed for hours a day or hours at a time. And now some of us might say, see, if we could just get into prayer and all that. But a lot of us are thinking, I don't have time for that. And it's not very encouraging at all. It's very discouraging. I mean, you're going to tell me to get off Netflix, stop going to the movies, don't listen to the radio, and get in my prayer closet for 10 hours a day. Yes, I am. See you. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But I'm guessing we all have that guilty feeling like we're not praying as much or as intensely as we ought to at times, right? Yeah. So maybe something like today gets you fired up and you start praying more and start being a little specific and it works for a little while, and the fire sort of dies out, and you kind of go back to your same old week, if I could say that, routine. It's so hard to focus. People tell me that all the time. It's hard for me to focus in prayer. And you start praying, you're thinking, I got to go a little longer, so now you're just talking about whatever, and you try to remember everybody on the list or something like that, and then the devil comes in, and your own thoughts come in. Your stomach goes, brrr. And you think that's Romans 8:26, groanings which can't be uttered. And things like that happen. But I know how it is to struggle in prayer. And I don't mean just struggle as in wrestle with God. We're going to talk about that. But I mean, let's just be honest. Can we be honest? Amen? Anybody? Everybody close your eyes so that no one else can see anybody else. Raise your hand if you struggle to do prayer. That's 87 out of 96. That's pretty good. All right, put your hands down, open your eyes. Thank you so much. I didn't mean to manipulate you. I wanted to show you that everybody has that situation at times in our lives. And it seems so hard to focus, and it seems very tedious. You know, so we wind up saying the Mickey Mouse prayer. Oh, Lord, you know, bless Brother J.D. and the GSF camp, Lord, you know, and make sure I pay my bills. Thank you, Lord. And is there a place for that? Well, there is. There is. You do talk to God all day. No doubt about it. But if that's all we're ever doing, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but we realize our own selves. And we read of all these people, you think, it must not be true. Or they didn't have computers back then. They didn't have that many children like I do. They weren't facing the same things. Well, I would say that means you need to pray. You need to pay closer attention to praying. Notice I didn't say pray more. But I'm just trying to get everybody to admit that we have struggles in prayer. Can I get an amen on that? I'm sure that your motivation doesn't seem to last for very long at times. And we seem like we just go back into it. We get stirred up, And then we start cooling down, right? Amen, it's true. Well, I want to start a revolution in your life and in this church. I want to talk to you today about learning to pray an hour a day. Oh, no, there we go. I knew something. Well, it's better than asking you for $39.95, isn't it? Oh, wait. I want my 10% and I want it now. Oh, yeah. But you know how it is. You get a preacher, teacher says, well, you can do this, you can do that, and all that. But what if I told you you could pray for an hour a day and actually enjoy it? And I mean actually enjoy it. Even if you never prayed for more than 5 minutes before, this is going to be so good for you as beginners and even as seasoned believers. It's just as effective. And let me let you off the hook immediately. What if I said that what I'm trying to get you to do is not necessarily pray an hour each day or an hour at a time, but you could start with just a few minutes each day and break it up over the course of your day, and in doing so, your prayer life would be revolutionized. It would make a revolutionary difference in your life. It would transform not only the way that you pray, but the way that you live. What if I told you that and could prove that to you? Would you be interested? Yeah. Now, there was some book I read a long time ago, and then I was reminded by an article online this week about something that I've been doing for a while, but I want to bring it to you. See, I've read that the best way to pray for an hour is to split it up into 12 separate blocks of 5 minutes each. Then you pray 5 minutes through these blocks. And you can start with a minute, just pray 12 minutes. If we're going to be honest with each other, some of us, our prayers wouldn't add up to that much. And I'm not mad at you, I'm trying to help you. Okay? So I've seen different lists and different items on a list, and what I'm going to do today is show you my list and tell you what it is. And you can write it down, but I've got a little visual aid that'll help you here at the end. It's a good place to start. It's going to help you learn the different types of prayer. Now, in our book, The Fellowship Files, we covered the first four: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That goes all the way back, I think, to Dwight Moody. We've been teaching that for a long, long time. You know, Acts. But there's more types of prayer than that. And if you could have a place where you would have all these and know what to do and have categories, it would make it a lot easier. You'd be more focused, more intentional, more fruitful, more fervent. And sometimes all it takes is just something that gets your eyes on the right thing. Yes. Again, it's just as effective for beginners as it is for the well-seasoned. There's other people here that pray 10 hours a day and could still be helped by this. Now, I'm not saying you should always pray for an hour at a time or even an hour each day. I'm saying that using such categories are going to help you focus. You can start with 1 minute each and, again, work up to five as an example. Some of these categories think, I don't even know what to do with that. So start with 30 seconds there, and another one you may be going 5 or 6 minutes easily. But don't get all spiritual. Say, well, you should have concluded this. Well, and I pray this. Don't do that. Don't short-circuit yourself by over-spiritualizing yourself. Write them down, okay? And your list might change over time. You can use a phone to keep track of the time, and that doesn't make you less spiritual. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You can pray while you're driving. Please don't close your eyes while you're driving to pray. Or I know what you should be praying for. Everybody else on the road. Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever been known that they were a bad driver and prayed for everybody else on the road when they got on the road? I bet you that's never happened. I'm planting the seed. It's weird, though. You think about perspective. And this is what I'm talking about today. It's all about perspective. But if you can get a handle on this, and I'm going to help you literally get a handle on this, it will revolutionize the way you do it, and you won't have such a hard time doing it. I know it sounds impossible, but it is very possible. I do it. So here we go. 12 types of prayer, and revolve around prayer. And this is also going to help you finish your Bible study each day, too. Nice bonus, right? The first one is adoration. That's prayer as an expression of praise. You see, thanksgiving and praise are two different things. Praise is for who God is. Thanksgiving is for what he does. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 11. We're going to give it a little bit of example for most of these. But the first part of your prayer, you know, what it says in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that sort of thing. And the first part of your prayer is praying in light of God's attributes. The Psalms are full of this. Oh God, when we sang indescribable today, that's adoration, that sort of thing. We're adoring God. Now, let me turn to Romans 11 again, 33 through 36. And here's the thing about Romans 11. This is one of the key passages really in the Bible, because Romans is the dun-dun-dun of the Bible, doctrinally speaking. I mean, even secular historians say this is one of the greatest pieces of literature that there is. The argumentation and all that is incredible. But he takes 11 chapters to get to this point as a pivot point to chapters 12. Because chapters 1 through 3 are about the problem, which is sin, which is everybody. Then chapters 4 and 5 are about the solution, which is Jesus, the only way. And chapters 6 through 8 are about sanctification and growing in grace. Then chapters 9 through 11 are about God's sovereignty and Paul saying, I don't want to go to heaven if my friends, if the Jews aren't going. And then by the end he goes, whoa, God has this incredible plan. Then based on that, he says something that we're going to read here. And then he goes into chapter 12. He goes, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Therefore by what? By these 11 chapters. All this argumentation, all this that God has given us to look at, because of that, give yourselves a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world and serve other people, etc., etc. But before that, he explodes into praise. And he goes, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him all things. We sing that all the time here. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And you see this in the Bible over and over where he'll just explode into this praise. Now it might seem like the hardest thing to do, just to start praising God. Because you think you're going to say, and we worship you and we adore you and what's magnify you and glorify you. It's not just that. It's talking about who he is. And so the more you actually learn about who God is, the easier it'll become over time. As you get to know him and his attributes, you're going to grow on this and delight in this. And you know what I like to do? Here's a little trick for you. I'm going to give you some little helpful hints when you go through these. What I like to do when I'm talking about adoring God is focus on something that he has brought to me that day. Let me give you an example. Last week, I was taking my wife's car to get serviced. And we were taking it to the dealer instead of where we got the car because we'd had some issues and all of that. So I'm already set off on edge because as a man, I'm thinking, they're going to ruin me. They're going to find something that isn't even there or invent something that isn't there that I know better than. But my wife is saying, did you? But here we go. This thing's going to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Let's just buy a new car. I can't stand it. And then there's all that construction down Highway 19. And then I went a different way than I normally go, so I turned the wrong way. No, I turned the right way and didn't go far enough. Then I turned the wrong way, wound up in Crystal River when I should have been in Homosassa. So now I'm late, and so now, you know, and if you know me, I'm a punctual kind of guy. OCD. You know, I'm not late to stuff. And I know every chair in here, and I know what you wore today, and I'm just that way. So now I'm really on edge. Then I start driving, you know, down where all the cones are, and you've got to slow down and put your blinker on to turn left because it's not a big, you know, where you can get in and then get over. It's the cones are there. You got to turn real quick. And so somebody decides to tell me they're number one and give me all the praise with their hands. And, of course, it was wrong. And, of course, I consigned them to hell immediately. Thou fool. No, I didn't. But I'm now I'm on edge, man. And so then I pull up, and it's late, and I'm thinking, here I go. Ooh, getting in trouble. I'm not quite blue hair yet, but all the blue hairs are going to be there. And, they get there an hour early, and now I'm going to get out of here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I got serious work to do. I'm a pastor.
Watch out, Stella.
Oh, boy. No, Stella's got cane foo. Well, the issue is now I'm on edge. You got that picture now, right? So I'm here, and before I get out of the car, a young man runs up. He doesn't even see my face because you guys know my face. I'm one of those hard on the sleeves. If I'm mad at you, you probably know. Maybe I'll throw chairs or something. I don't know. But here's the thing. He runs out of the car and he says, runs at my car and he says, God bless. This is a secular business place. God bless you, sir. I hope the rest of your day is better than it's been so far. Now it's like, how does this turkey, you know, like that. But I realized immediately he didn't even see my face and all that, or because I'm, you know, 5 foot tall or whatever. Like, I know he must be mad. Well, anyway, you get that? Anyway. I was pondering that later, and they wound up doing such an honest job. They did more than honest. They saved us money, showed us how this, something happened the wrong way. He was able to describe it, and his story was the same as mine, so I knew that he was telling the truth, and it cost us like $50. And everything was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. Well, I was pondering this later, and of course the guilty of, well, you know, that's what you get for being mean. But I was thinking about it, and God brought somebody by that I needed here to show that he cares for me no matter what the situation is. And I thought about Psalm 139:4, where it says, and you can turn to Psalm 139, because we're going to go there again, is you know the thoughts before they're even on my tongue. He knows what I'm thinking before I even think it. And so he knows what I need. So I was adoring him for his omniscience. Make sense? I was saying in my heart to God when I was praying, I said, God, you know my every thought before I even think it. That doesn't give me an excuse to be stupid. It just means that he knows what's going on. He knows what I need. And if I continue to yield myself to him, he will straighten it out. Thank God. I adore God for that. Don't you adore people when they'll take your stupidity and turn it into a plus somehow? I love that. You know, oh, I messed this thing up, you know. I could take it to my friend Dale, and I you know, if you get me in your power tools, something's going to happen. So, oh, boy. But if I said, Dale, here's the, and he's going to make it better than it was even before and give me $20 or something. I'm telling you, I adore you because you can just do things I can't do. And you like it. And this is God. This was this young man. God was speaking through this young man to help the whole curmudgeon here get through the day, and I adored God for it. And again, Psalm 139:4 says, you know the thoughts before they're even on my tongue. He knows our thoughts before they're even in our head. And again, I thought about it later, and I was speaking of God's omniscience, the fact that he knows everything. So if you do that, whatever's going on in your day, and you thank God that he's above that, adore him for that. God, I open my mouth again. But God, you made my tongue and you've redeemed my heart, and now I can praise you even though I hadn't done so, now I can go so. So number one, adoration. You start your prayers with adoration. I've got to tell you, we need to do this. But you don't only, you can go into, you can learn so much about his omniscience, his omnipresence. There's so much. And you don't have to be all super technological, theological and all that. Just, Lord, I thank you. You know, well, wait a minute, we're not there yet. Number two is confession. Oh, boy. What does 1 John 1:9 say? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's the thing. That's where we get our word for homogenization. It means saying the same thing as God does about sin. Let me give it this way. When two people, we didn't say man and a woman, when two people are getting married, what do? They confess their love for one another, both saying, we're in this together. Or the book of Hebrews talks about holding fast your confession. We subscribe to the New Hampshire Confession, in case you didn't know, of 1833. And we like to quote from the Westminster Confession of Faith. So you get the idea of confessing. It's saying the same thing God does about sin. You adore God for who he is, and then you say, God, by the way, I'm who I am. And I'm a sinful creature. Don't beat yourself up. You're taking this to God and asking him also, Lord, show me what's going on in my heart and bringing that to him, knowing that he's going to forgive you. Did you get to Psalm 139 there? Psalm 139. Most of you know this by heart. If you don't, you need to commit this to memory. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Most of you, again, are very familiar. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 19, we could turn there real quick. I told you we're going to be looking at a little bit of scripture here. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. When I say I pray it every day, I mean it's always in my mind. I don't exactly repeat the words every day, but just about. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14 is the same way. Who can discern his errors? Amen. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And I've used this in so many sermons. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock or my strength and my redeemer. You're confessing to God. See, adore him for who he is. Then that's why you're able to confess who you are, knowing that God is going to forgive you. Adoration, confession. Third, thanksgiving. You're saying, this is so much. Wait. 10 seconds even. Because even that's 2 minutes if you go through 12 categories. And that might be more than some of you do. I understand that. I'm not mad at you. You got to start somewhere, right? I already pray an hour a day. Praise God. Do you pray through these categories? You can have your own, but I think these are pretty comprehensive. Thanksgiving. That's prayer as an expression of gratitude. We know what Thanksgiving is, right? You thank God for what he's done and will do for others. There's plenty of places we could look at, like 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank God for the grace of God that was given to you and all these gifts. There's many things that you could thank God for. You thank God for the blessings he's given you, for the grace and mercy he's shown you, and for the prayers he has answered. Now, you might mix praise in with adoration. You might be tempted to do that. And they do have some overlap. But as I said before, praise is about who God is. Thanksgiving is for about what he's done. My God, I praise you that you are the one that is my healer. And Lord, I thank you for healing my body. I praise you, Lord, that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I thank you that you got me that new job. I praise you, Lord, that I found this church when I was needing it. That's thanking, right? I praise you because you have these groups gathered together, that there's still a remnant. There's still people out there all over this land and all over the world, and we're going to get to, and I want there to be more, but here's the thing about that. You think, oh, well, it's hard for me to keep them separate. Well, I put them separate because you're going to learn self-control by keeping one till it's time. You need to fill up that praise, and you need to fill up that thanksgiving. Now, number four, anybody with me? Yes. All right. Supplication means asking for stuff. That's what we always think when we think of prayer. When we have prayer lists, well, mama needs this, daddy needs this, sister needs that, brother needs that, the horse needs this, whatever it may be, right? Praying for stuff. That's an expression of need. Now, we're talking about personal needs here. You ask God to meet your need, and sometimes what you feel is an indication of what you need. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6 says. But in everything, with thanksgiving, right? Make your needs known. Thanksgiving and supplication. Supplication means there's nothing in my hand. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Supplication is like, I don't know what to do. I don't have a leg to stand on. I don't have a job. I don't have a wife. I don't have this. I don't have that. And tomorrow I've got to do this. What do I do? That's supplication. It's not always that urgent, but it is. Father, help Sonia to have a safe ride home. Right? I'm not in the car. You don't want me driving anyway. I don't live outside of Atlanta. I live here. I might get there a little faster than you might be comfortable with. Oh, what, did I just do that out loud? I pray that JD doesn't speed. Well, that's the thing. We supplicate. You know, you have situations, you know, like your baby is in the hospital. Father, I don't know what to do, but I know you do. I praise you because you are the God who can see all things. I thank you that we caught this thing in time. Father, here's my supplication that you heal them. Right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Again, we covered that in our discipleship book, The Fellowship Files. If you're a member of this church, you'll get one. And if you don't have one, you can just ask for one. If you're hearing me on sermon audio, just leave a comment saying, I want that book, and I'll send it to you for nothing. We want to help you. Now, a lot of people understand that, but let's move on to number five here. Anybody still with me? Intercession. Interceding. This is praying on behalf of others. That's what we're typically doing on Wednesday nights, right? Now, you can keep a journal to keep track of prayer requests, but we have something already built in this church called the pool of prayer, where you take, if someone puts something in and then you take one out, it's one-on-one, and you have someone's three prayer requests for that week. And so there can be your intercession right there. You're supposed to be doing it every day anyway, so hopefully that'll get you involved in it. Intercession. You can check out our page on Facebook or the Daughters of Sarah page or any number of places. The Bible is full of intercession, and Paul always has other people to intercede for him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let me read the end of the book here. Verse 18 through 20. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and, there's that word, supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Intercession, you're praying for other people. Supplication, you're praying for yourself. Intercession, you're praying for other people. You're supplicating for them, but it's a different category here. Now, number six, you say, oh, well, I'm going to do other people first because, oh, I'm so, you go ahead, Mr. Spiritual, go right ahead. But if you can't even speak, then you need to pray for your own tongue anyway before you ask for somebody else. Anyway, I could get whatever. We want to be spiritual. We don't want to be sanctimonious, do we? All right. Number six, missions. That's praying for the advancement of God's kingdom. You pray for our church's missionaries. You can look at our missions board outside over here or down the hall and look at what the current events are. We had some people here last week, missionaries from South America, and they have a prayer card sitting right here in front of me. And, you know, we talked about what he's doing now, what she's doing now, and their children. This is praying for people on the mission field. And maybe you have a heart for a gospel for Asia or Samaritan's Purse or something else. You know, you could pray for those. And we have so many that we support locally from here that you pray for those. And you don't have to do everyone every day. I pray for them, I pray for them, I pray for them. Just choose one maybe. Can you hear me? As you learn more about these ministries, you're going to deepen your empathy and your prayers for them. Again, the Apostle Paul asked churches to pray for the work. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I mean, I could multiply examples here. I just wanted to give you a few. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Father, I want this church and the people, you know, and et cetera. And we're praying for our missionary to Nepal, and our missionary to Honduras, and our missionary to India, and our missionary to here, and our missionary to there, and all of that. And don't just say, I pray for them, I pray for them. Be specific. Well, how am I supposed to do that? You learn more about them. See, this thing can grow into more than 5 minutes, and I'm not asking you to do any more than that. I'm not even asking you to do that. But pray for mission. Number seven. Anybody still with me? Church, this is praying for your local congregation. You ought to have one. You pray for the ministers of the church, the ministries of the church, the ones you're involved in, and upcoming events. You pray for the people. You pray for their salvation. You pray for sanctification. You pray for service. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. See, in all of these prayer examples, I'm giving you, Paul just goes at it all over the place. You can find it. Just use the word pray, prayer, and praying, and put it in your search thing and just hit it. You know, your e-sword, if you don't know what that is, you ought to have it. It's free. Yeah, exactly, Steve. You know, there's so many tools out there that can help you. First, Philippians 1, let me read verses 8 through 11. For God is my witness. You wonder where that ever came from? There it is. So many sayings and little things we have came from the Bible. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love, he's praying for the Philippians, may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. You could just read this over if you don't get bored doing it, and pray for this church. This, pray this, with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with all the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a prayer. And he's doing that from jail, by the way. Well, of course, he's going to pray. He's in jail. He's got nothing else to do. I've got a busy life. I was thinking about the example of Martin Luther and a couple of things. He got stolen away and put in the Wartburg Castle so they could keep him, you know, alive. And later they asked him, you know, well, what were you doing? Well, I was praying a lot. He goes, well, you know, I'm translating the Bible into German, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, how can you get that all done? He goes, well, I got to pray more. See, it wasn't a matter of time. It was a matter of commitment. And one time he wrote Philip Melanchthon, his right-hand man, as it were, and he goes, Phil, paraphrasing obviously, You got to pray for me more. I know you're not, because all I'm thinking about is my wife and beer. The great Martin Luther. What, you know what I'm saying? It's like people depend on your prayers. I believe people say, I felt your prayers, you know? You pray for other people. You pray for the church. You pray for their service. Now, here's one. Number eight, evangelism. I've got a neat little thing to show you in this that can revolutionize this church starting today. And any church you go into, watch this now. Evangelists pray for gospel proclamation, outreach activities. You think, well, okay, Mr. Highway Harold or Captain Peter Raines, and he's going out there all 6'3" and 220 pounds, and he's out there preaching on the streets, right? We'll pray for that. Yeah, and what about you? Okay, well, I'm going to get there. Hold on. You got to learn to be imaginative. Otherwise, you're just going to be praying for Peter every day, and he's probably going to listen to this. I talked to him yesterday, and, you know, the minister of the church, I pray Dan does what he's supposed to do. Well, yay. But it's not just us that evangelize. It's all of us. You don't want to be redundant in this category. So you know what you do? You break this up into individuals and pray for a different member of the church for their growth in this area. I'm praying for Ian, Lord, that you would help him to be a good witness in 10th grade, that he would learn that there are good answers, that he would learn what a green apple and a red apple is and know which one to try to get. Lord, that he would, you know, whatever it may be. Imagine that. And then tomorrow, you know, Lord, I pray for Marilyn. And even though, you know, she's living here, living there, doesn't see this, I pray for that when she does have these opportunities that you will quicken her to give that answer for that hope. Lord, I pray for Terry, you know, that when he's out there and there's people at the centers, that he sees that they would say something, well, you know, oh my God. Well, you know, I know God actually. And that stuff. And we could go on and on. What if someone was praying for your evangelism? You say, well, you don't want anybody to pray for your evangelism? You don't want to get any better at it? Doesn't mean everybody's got to go out there and be Billy Graham. It just means you can do better than you are, and it's going to require some people praying for you. But imagine if everybody, instead of just praying for evangelism in general, or the people that we know do it, that we wind up praying for everybody. Lord, I pray for 12-year-old Ty. That while he's at school, or that maybe he'd bother his mother and father so much just talking about Jesus. Okay, Ty, we'll come to church. Whatever it might be. Right? Think about that. See how that breaks it up? And you say, well, I can't even pray for more than 30 seconds. Well, you'll learn how. So pick three or four people that first day. Right? You see how that will work? Evangelism opportunities. We always talk about evangelism itself, but we don't talk about it as each individual learning. And you learn some more about it, then you'll know how to pray more specifically. Do you get what I'm saying? No one's getting out of this alive. Let's look at Philemon chapter 1. Again, I'm just giving you some examples here. Paul does this over and over again. He does this for Philemon specifically. He goes, I thank my God when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effectual for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Pick a person and pray for them. Pray that they would become more evangelistic. Now that would be a revolution if everybody was praying for everybody else and their opportunities instead of just letting everybody else off the hook. Because that's what we do. Just be passive. Oh my. Number 9. Family. Do I have to go further into that? Just pray for your relatives and extended family. There's usually things that, you know, there are people that are praying for my family and they know some of my situation, but there's things that they just can't know because they're just family specific. Right? Like, I know some things about your particular family, for sure, and we prayed about them today, but there's things intricately in there that I can't, not that you won't tell me even, but they just can't articulate that. It's family talk. So you pray for family. Job prayed for his family after they have the big parties and all that in case they did something wrong, you know? But there's some things, he doesn't say exactly how he did it because it was specific to their family. That one I don't have to do a whole lot of explaining. Now let's get to the last three. Are you still with me? Scripture. This is prayerful reading of your Bible. Take 5 minutes to read a passage or a psalm, a prayer, or whatever wherever you are in your reading of the Bible. So you see, you're getting your Bible reading in it too. and you're doing this in a prayerful attitude, and I said it's just 5 minutes. This one you should probably go ahead and start at 5 minutes, but that's okay if you don't. And then what do? Then you stop and think about it. That's number 11, silence. This one can do so much for you, especially in today's hyper day. This is prayer as meditation. What you do is you sit silently and ponder what you've read. We read Psalm 119:15 this morning. Let me ponder your scriptures. Let me meditate on your statutes. Meditate. And then you can ask for God to enlighten you as to what you just read. So you read Psalm 5, let's say. And then you read it, and you're reading it prayerfully. Lord, help me. And then you just sit there silently and think about it. 8 verses, 9 verses, whatever, 2 verses, just think about it. Silence. I mean, there's so many offshoot benefits from that, it's not even funny. I mean, we've got to get the children doing this part. We've got to get the children doing this part. Silence. Can't you just sit still? No, you haven't taught them to sit still. Just saying sit still don't mean they can sit still. Modeling how to do it. Instead of saying when you get older you'll be able to do it, show them exactly how you were doing it. Okay, let's read some scripture. Now let's just sit here and think about it. Well, what do you mean think about it? That's just the first day. It'll get better. Got me? Silence. And then finally, song. But I don't like singing. That's why you do it. If you don't do something different, you're not going to live any differently. Song. You can close by either singing. You know, and I don't mean there's only one way to rock. Sorry. The old red rocker there, Sammy Hagar. Well, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Wait a minute. When we all get to heaven. So everybody that gets up there is going to sing. You think about it. Or you pray through the lyrics of a hymn. These old hymns are incredible. They start with creation, then fall, then redemption, then consummation. That's the cycle in the Bible. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. There's so many of the old hymns that read exactly like that. Alistair Begg is an excellent example of this. He will quote from hymns in his sermons all the time, and he'll just read them out. And it's an amazing thing to do. Think about what you're singing and sing. Men, sing. I'm not going to try to get you up here. No, that's a lie. I will try to get you up here. But you need to think about what you're saying and singing. And that's why a lot of people don't like it, because it doesn't jive with what they're hearing on the radio. Well, maybe you'll turn the radio dial. I'm not saying you can't listen to some stuff. You know, I'm quoting 70 songs every sermon. But you can think more clearly about that. I mean, we all have that song in our hearts. How many of us saw the camp Parents' Day yesterday and went home going, what can I say except you're welcome, right? I was doing some counseling with somebody yesterday, and they're like, you really brought me to the Bible and the scriptures and all that. I go, what can I say? And I said, uh-oh. And I put to the tune of Moana. We've all got that song in our heart. We all want to do that. I remember we took my sweet pea, she was 10 at the time, and she was seeing a movie, and there was a song I thought she had never heard of, and she was right there with it. You're gonna hear me roar. And I'm like, I didn't know she knew that. I thought we sheltered her. Well, that's the thing. You have songs in it. And think about these great songs. Isaac Watts and Fanny Crosby and Johann Sebastian Bach and others. Charles Wesley. Rich songs. And you can think about them or just sing. That's a nice way to finish up. Now see, the act of dividing your prayers fills up the time in a more intentional and thoughtful ways. And by using specific categories, you're going to learn to appreciate God's answers. Because it won't just be the amorphous, oh, did I pray this? You'll know the categories you're praying in, you'll remember them. So there it is. 12 categories, 5 minutes a day. You can pray an hour a day. And to help you do that, I created a little visual aid for you. It says your prayer card as our logo, the Jesus Life logo on the bottom. And then I have the 12 categories in a little description. Adoration, praise God for who He is. Confession, agree with God about your sin. Thanksgiving, thank God for what He's done. Supplication, ask God to meet your needs. Intercession, pray for the needs of others. Missions, pray for God's kingdom. Because what's the one that you do, no matter what? You do supplication. What's the one you forget? You know, some of the others, maybe this day or that day. Oh, that's right, we had the visitors here. Missions, pray for God's kingdom. Church, pray for your congregation. Evangelism, pray for gospel proclamation. Family, pray for your relatives. Scripture, read a passage. Silence, meditate on a passage. Song, sing or pray through lyrics. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession, mission, church, evangelism, family, scripture, silence, song. That's a lot, but here it is. You can put it in your Bible. You're the only one that's going to get an extra one. If they don't go to this church, they ain't getting nothing. Yes, I know. She already got one. I gave her my copy. Huh, high cotton. Anyway, I want you to think about this. Here, Otis, here's this, and just pass them down. You guys go all the way around. There's enough for everybody. And see, this way you will have something to hold tangibly so you can remember, because I know how it is, not just because I'm over 50 or over 70. We begin to forget things. Even if we have a good short memory and we're still ticking really good, it still, you know, helps you. Because I do it. Don't you ever go into a conversation with somebody and say, oh, I wish I would have said this. Now you don't have to worry about that. There it is. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you remind me that we need to be reminded. You say the same things over and over and over in different contexts, in different ways, but the same thing about redemption, about Christ, and about our lives, and about who you are in Scripture over and over and over again. Because we need the reminders, Lord. So I thank you for reminding me of what I've been reminding myself of for a long time. And to put it in a form that we can latch on to, Lord. Help others to hear this and do likewise. For your glory, and in your name we pray, amen.